All right. Thank you guys for that tangent. Some of you probably want to leave because if you know anything about the passage of James that we're going to jump into today, it's not necessarily fun. And so I give you permission. If you had a good time worshiping, you're feeling the glory and you want to just live there, be there, you're free to go. I'm serious, right? I'm actually not joking. I think one of the things that I'm realizing in going through this this book of James, I've never preached on James. I've read James a lot. I've studied the book of James, never preached on James. But one of the things that I'm learning is that I'm not surprised why God is having us go through the book of James in this season. The things that he disclosed to us that he wanted to accomplish within our body, it's really significant and powerful, but it's also very hard. It's a hard look at our lives. And so I think we don't run from that, and yet the reality is I get it that many are not ready for it. It feels too hard. It feels too hard. And so there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. This is probably a bigger liberty than what I've thought I was going to give when I stood on the stage. But the reality is you have freedom. God will never force you to do something. He'll never force you to look at something in your life. He'll continue to lead you, but he'll never force you. But his promise is that he wants to release fullness of life. And so to the degree that we'll embrace that, that's what we'll have. To the degree where we keep stiff-arming him, then we can't receive it. Yeah. Can't receive it. So with that, we're going to continue in our series in the book of James. And we're starting chapter 3. And the reality, I think I said this in one of the messages, is that as you go through James, you see that he has a number of themes that he sort of circles back around to, and he sort of stresses it at a new level or a new dimension. It feels deeper. I think my experience as we're doing this is it gets harder. Like, it feels like you thought that was hard. Now here you go, right here. And so in this first part of James 3, we're jumping back into looking at the issue of speaking. Sort of what are the words that come out of your mouth and what does it look like to partner with God in our speech? And so when we looked at James chapter 1, the second half, we asked some questions. And I'm just going to read those before we jump into the scripture. It says, does my speech glorify God? It's personal. Does my speech glorify God? I can't answer that for you. I may be able to judge your speech, right? But I'm not supposed to. But between you and the Lord, you need to decide, does my speech glorify God? And do I accurately represent my Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in how I speak? Right? Do I sound like my Father? Do I sound like Jesus? Do I sound like the Holy Spirit? Is there any area in my speech that the Holy Spirit wants me to explore deeper? Right? The only way you would know is if you unveiled yourself before the Holy Spirit and said, here am I, Lord. Is there anything that you want to reveal to me about my speech? And it would start with just hunger, thirst, that your whole life would accurately represent the triune God, right? And so if you have that, the Holy Spirit's at the ready to shine his light, not in condemnation, but to lead you to life. All right. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to James chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. Remember, James is writing to Christian brothers and sisters, okay? They're all spread out, but Christian brothers and sisters. It says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are large and are driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. James says we all stumble in many ways. Right? I don't think he's saying that as a statement of condemnation. Like we all suck. We're all horrible. I don't think that's James' posture. I think it's a statement of humility. It's remembering the truth that all of us struggle. All of us stumble. He says, anyone who doesn't stumble in what he says is a perfect man, able to bridle or control his whole body. Who's the only perfect man? Jesus. Where does he live? If you have a relationship with Jesus, he lives inside of you. That perfect man lives inside of you. Right? We're becoming more and more like him every single day. And so the reality is James isn't, he isn't condemning the body of Christ. He's saying, let's walk in humility. Let's remember, but always also let's keep our eyes on who Jesus is. And the reality is then he goes into this, these examples of how a perfect man could control his own body, just like a horse, if you put a bit in a horse's mouth, right? It's connected to the bridle. And with that, the rider of the horse can direct this massive beast wherever he wants it or she wants it to go. Same with a rudder and a ship. Right, you think of some of the biggest ships that are out there in the ocean, they're controlled by a small rudder. And the pilot, just by turning the wheel, is able to redirect the course of the ship through mighty winds and all that kind of stuff. And it's just by a small little piece. And then in verse 5, James says, so also the tongue is a small member, right? Yet it boasts of great things. The tongue is a powerful member of the body, even though it's small in size. It's not your biggest part of your body. If Lisa was preaching this message, she could tell you what the largest part of your body is. I don't remember. It's somewhere in your leg or something like that, I think. But the reality is your tongue is not the biggest part of your body. But it accomplishes, has the potential or the power to accomplish great good and great evil. And that's what James is going to lead us into. Many of us know Proverbs 18:21, right? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The real question is not, do you know the verse? It's, do you believe it? Do you believe it to be true? And so if you did believe it to be true, you would count the cost before you speak as to whether what's going to come out of your mouth is going to release life or it's going to release death. And there's not a middle ground. Do you get that? You either release life or you release death. There's no other alternative. Our tongues can lead us into life or death, right? It can lead you personally into greater measures of life or into greater measures of death. And then through our tongues, we can also lead others in our sphere of influence into greater measures of life or greater measures of death. That's very powerful. He goes on. And he says, how great a forest fire is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. That's some good stuff right there. All right? You sure want to stay? Remember he said, be slow to speak. Be slow to become angry in chapter 1. A massive forest fire can result from a single spark. I don't know that we think about that when we're speaking, though. Often we feel like our speech is innocent. It's contained. It's like in my barbecue. It's a contained fire, right? Or a campfire. It's contained. Till it gets out of control. And our words have the capability or potential of doing incredible harm both within us as well as through us in the lives of those who are in our sphere of influence. Verse 7, he says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. All right, so every kind of animal can be tamed. Right? I don't know if that fully is true, but it seems pretty true. I mean, there's lions and tigers and bears that have been tamed, right? You could push it if you wanted to. But no human being can tame the tongue. You guys think it's true? Is it true? Is it just James's words? He says the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Is your tongue? Your tongue, right? Full of deadly poison? I don't think many of us would say that. I think we would say, not me, not my tongue. I don't have that inside of me. Who are you talking to? And so that's why it becomes hard to sort of open ourselves up and actually look at it with an honest assessment. I mean, if you just stop there, I think we would say, is there any hope, right? What's James doing? If he's trying to edify or build up the church, he's doing a really bad job. Why would anyone want to come back or keep reading? And yet, I don't think his goal is to cause the body of Christ to be afraid or, again, to feel condemned. I think the reality is that James knows that we can't do anything apart from God, and yet with God all things are possible. And so I might not be able to tame my own tongue, but with Jesus, I have a really good chance of that happening. God's not limited by our inability. James says, with our words, we bless our Lord and Father. Anybody bless our Lord and Father today? Yeah. We just finished worshiping. This King of Kings, Lord of Lords, this amazing one, the great provider, the healer, the restorer, right? And he says, but with our words, we curse people who are made in the image of God. So every individual on the face of the planet has been made in the image of God. It's not just the ones we like, not just the ones who are nice to us, not just the ones who are kind. Every single individual has been made in the image of God. Many don't know it. That doesn't mean it's not true, right? And he says that with our words, we curse people who are made in the image of God. He says, from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. We often, I think, don't realize what we're doing. And I think James, he's inviting us to use some of Peter's language, is to wake up, right? Stay alert, be sober, right? So often we think sober just has to do with addictions. No, be sober. Wake up. Think about your speech, is what James is saying. And I think he's partnering with the Holy Spirit to shine light on our lives or believers' lives, right? Like, how often as sons and daughters of the living God have we become peaceful, cursing others who are made in the image of God, and believe that we're walking in righteousness in the process? Because I don't think when we're speaking, we feel like we're cursing someone. We're just declaring the truth in love about how horrible they are and how much they... It's hard. But somewhere we make peace. And I think that the reality is that our intentions and our actions don't always line up. Because if you ask somebody their intention of why they said what they said, they would give you a whole story about they're just trying to do good. And yet if they really thought about what they were saying or how they were saying it, the tone behind how they're saying it, or the, what's really behind there. If they really had eyes to see the damage it was causing, or the way it was really releasing a curse into a person's life, they would never say it. I think I know for myself, we make flippant comments, right? Thinking it's no big deal. And yet, if we allowed the Holy Spirit to sort of buzz us or zap us, or even better, to get our attention before we say it, right, that would be really good. And I know this is probably too strongly said, but few of us would ever want to send someone to hell. Anybody want to send someone to hell? Okay, for those on the podcast, nobody's raising their hand, right? What about those individuals who really hurt and traumatized us? Like, even those individuals, I think most people, if you really sat them down and you said, would you want this person to go to hell? I think most of us would say no, right? But the reality is, with our words, we actually pave the way and pay for their ticket. It's how powerful our words are. You know, it's been said that we often judge others by their actions and ourselves by our intentions, right? I know that's been true in my life, and yet the reality is, what would it look like for us to give individuals the benefit of the doubt instead of just looking at their action and then making a judgment about it? Jesus, he says in Matthew 15, 18, he says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. And ultimately, he's saying that the issues, any issue of the mouth and our speech, it's really a heart issue. And he goes on in Matthew 12, verse 34, or previously, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Some strong words from Jesus. Do you think Jesus is trying to partner with the spirit of fear? I don't think so. He couldn't. So if when you read those words, you get bombarded with a spirit of fear, that's from the spirit of fear. If you see the life force that's behind those words saying, wake up, take serious your speech, look at your heart, because if you're listening to how you speak to people and treat people with your mouth, and it's shining light on something that you are not happy with or that doesn't give glory to God, it's really a heart issue. And what you need is a new heart or heart surgery. And I know a good physician. He's actually the great physician, and he's in the business of restoring hearts, right? And that really is the issue. I think that's what Jesus is highlighting. James, he goes on in verse 10, and he says, my brothers, these things ought not to be so. Back to, we bless God and we curse man, right? Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? You guys ever seen that? Salt water and fresh water coming out of the same spring? I haven't either. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? A grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. What's the fruit that you're bearing with your speech? Like, look around you. Fruit's obvious. Fruit is evident. Right? So, what's the fruit you're bearing in your life? Your own life? What do you see? Does your speech authentically represent Jesus, the hope of glory who lives in you? Does your speech reveal that you are an authentic ambassador of the kingdom? All right? Again, no one can answer those questions but you. And if it is a heart issue, if Jesus knows what he's talking about, what's truly in your heart? Right? How do you speak about yourself? To yourself. When no one's listening. No, I don't know. Okay? Do you speak blessing over your personal life? Or do you spend more time speaking about all the things that are bad or horrible or terrible? And in the process, you're actually cursing yourself. Right? How do you speak towards individuals in your sphere of influence? Your husband, your wife, your children, if your parents lie, your parents, right? Your neighbors, your coworkers, right? You can go on and on. What about, how do you speak towards your enemies? You guys have any enemies? It's always hard for me. I don't think I have any enemies, right? But I'm sure someone might say someone's my enemy. But the reality is, you know, there's people that hurt us and people who misalign us, right, in some way, shape, or form, or that have not treated us with justice over time. I've had those experiences, right? I know people who have those experiences. And so some of it would be thinking about when it's raw, how do you speak about those individuals? How do you retell what maybe they've done or said to somebody else? What light are you painting of those individuals? I'm just telling the truth, right? I want you to know the truth. Is this is what happened, right? And this is how bad it is. This is how horrible they are. I'm just telling you the truth. But are we painting a picture of this individual who was created in the image of God in a way that glorifies God? Or are we trying to gain something from the person who's listening to us because we're trying to make up for the injustice that we've experienced? It's interesting. What about, how do you speak towards individuals in the world, whether you know them or not, that you disagree with? There's a lot of opinions out there, a lot of strong statements. Some from people we know, some from people we've never met, we probably never will. There's a lot of people we probably disagree with in terms of things that they might say or do, right? How do we speak about them? Are there platforms that you use to light fires or add fuel to a fire that's already burning? Like in your family? Like say there's hot topics, right? We're going to my aunt's 70th birthday party today, and so the whole cast of characters are going to be there. It's been a while since we've been together, right? But I guarantee you that individuals who are in that room, they sort of know what they could say that could cause a little fire around the table, right? Do you ever do that? Think about your siblings. I know my brother and I, you know, we used to share things against each other, whatever. We know how to set up a table. My brother was really good at it for me. The reality is, like, if you think about those things, do you ever intentionally set a fire just by lighting a spark in a situation or a setting? Or what about in your neighborhood, right? There's some neighbors that we have that there's a group of neighbors in our neighborhood. They're really good friends, and they what they have in common is they all have dogs. And so we have a park across the street from our house, and And so they've met each other and associate with each other in a beautiful way by being together with their dogs. But there are some individuals in that group that have very strong opinions about the neighborhood or some of the neighbors in the neighborhood. And they often use that setting to try to light a fire. It's a platform to sort of bash on the neighbors that they don't like. Make sense? It's an arena where they have a captive audience and they're trying to stir something up to bring greater hatred towards some of the neighbors in our neighborhood. It's very interesting to me. Your workplace, right? What about our church? Christian circles. Do you ever come into a Christian circle setting and you know if I say this, I'd like to see what's going to happen? Because I know that there's individuals in this grouping that's gathered that are on different sides of this issue. Yet they're both followers of Jesus. Maybe I should say this and see if that spark creates something. The reality is often, I don't think we go through a mental process of being intentional about what we're going to say. But the reality is, with words that come out of our mouths, it creates a greater sense of division in the body of Christ than we ever thought would be possible. And we're often, we say what we say mostly because we think we're just being real, or we're trying to love, or that, again, we're back to the truth. This is the truth, right? My opinion is the truth, and the truth will set you free. So study my opinion. You never say that, right? But we live it that way often. Obviously, social media, it's a great place, right? You can do so much without having to confront somebody face-to-face. Do you ever use social media to light fires or add fuel to a fire? Somebody lights a fire and you make your comment or you give your like, or whatever you do, right? I think the biggest struggle with social media is the people who never make a comment. They just watch the fire burn. It's something that happens. It's feeding something inside of us. Watching the fire burn. How's it going to end? What's it going to produce? And somehow by just that silent assent, you're actually one of the perpetrators of the fire. The opposite of lighting a fire or fueling a fire would be, do you ever intentionally put out a fire? In love, in any of those settings. Even if you're misunderstood, even if you get bashed, Jesus said, "Blessed is the peacemaker, for they will be called the children of God." Why are peacemakers called the children of God? Because they look and act like their father. And so that could be a litmus test. Is what's coming out of my mouth or what I'm putting on my page or what I'm saying in this meeting, is it producing peace and life, or is it producing division and death? James says, be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. Proverbs says, even a fool who doesn't speak is considered wise. I love that. It really shows how powerful our tongues are. You could be the most foolish person in the world, and if you never open your mouth, people will think you're the wisest person in the world. Right? It's true. Let's go back to the questions we asked at the beginning. Does my speech glorify God? Do I accurately represent my Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in how I speak? And is there any area in my speech that the Holy Spirit wants me to explore deeper? Again, I think sort of where the rubber meets the road for this morning, in this passage, again, I don't think James is partnering with a spirit of fear. I don't think he's trying to make the Christian brothers and sisters who are reading this letter be scared that somehow they're going to mess up or they're going to do something wrong, that they need to live in a constant fear of speaking. Again, I think he's partnering with what Jesus is after, which is our hearts, in releasing life and allowing us to receive what he's releasing in us that we then could release life to those around us in everything we say. And so the sort of where the rubber meets the road takeaway questions, I would say, what do you want your speech to be like? Like, how would you want to be known for your speech? And if you assess sort of your current state, are you content with the way you currently speak, either to yourself or others or about others, and where you would say, it's good enough, like, I'm good, right? And that's okay. You might do an assessment and you say, I'm actually really good. I'm okay. Do you want to glorify God in all that you say? Do you want to accurately represent the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in how you speak? And are you willing to let the Holy Spirit shine his light on your life when it doesn't? Again, I think some of us do and some of us don't. Because if he shines his light, sometimes it's hard work that many of us, we don't want to deal with. We don't want to look at. We don't want to take the time. It was easier when I didn't know. Do you ever get that? When God reveals something in your life that you know is really hard and you're like, man, life was so much easier before he revealed that. Why did he have to ruin it for me? Because he wants you to have life, right? Again, what's truly in your heart? And if you don't know, do you want to know? Do you want to look at it? And if you do want to know, will you allow the Holy Spirit to show you? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you have modeled well the power of life in your tongue. When I think of creation and the beginning of life as we know it here on earth, all the things that were declared, let it be, right? Everything that we see in nature, even mankind, like you, there's a declaration, words that go forth to bring life. And I thank you that you entrust us, human beings, with that same power by giving us a tongue that can produce life or death. You modeled cursing the fig tree when it wasn't producing fruit. And it shows the power of the tongue to release death. And you also told Lazarus, come forth. And you modeled that life flows from the tongue. Because a dead man who was buried for 4 days walked out of the tomb. There's life and death is in the power of our tongues. And I pray that in the midst of this topic that can feel tricky or difficult or even hard at times or certain ways, I pray for your grace to just come rest upon the people of grace. That in this season, in this year, 2026, that we would be willing as a house to take an honest assessment of how we speak, both towards you or about you and towards others, right? In these categories, towards ourselves. Are there ways that we're releasing death in our lives just by how we speak about ourselves? How we treat one another, how we treat those who have hurt us, how we treat those on social media, how we treat those who don't have the same opinions throughout the globe. And just pray that in the midst of opening the light on this topic, pray, Jesus, that you would meet each person right where they're at. And then as a collective, that we would grow as a house, as a body here in Sonoma County, that we would impact our spheres of influence with a greater measure of life because of how we speak, that it truly would shift the atmosphere in our homes and in our families and in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods and in our cities, right? This church is made up of many cities, and to the nations. I pray it wouldn't just be words on a page that we know the words, but that it truly would be transformative in the way that we utilize the truth behind the words to release life. And we can't do that apart from you. And so in humility, we come before you afresh. And we say, Lord, would you help us with your grace to accomplish what we could never accomplish on our own? That we could actually tame our tongues for your glory. And for those who are open, right, you know the heart checks. As people are hearing this message, either here in the building or on the podcast, you know the hearts. And I just pray that for those who are open or those who are eager, who want you to touch this area of their lives, would you come in and meet their hunger and their thirst for more of you? And would you release a greater measure of righteousness and purity and holiness in our speech? And those who aren't ready yet, they're not ready to go there. Maybe they're working on another area of their lives. Would you just give them peace today? That you're with them, you're for them, you love them. You'll never stop loving them. Let me just thank you for that truth. Yeah. Again, thank you that you modeled Jesus, and I think James did as well, that we don't have to partner with a spirit of fear around this topic. You're not going to be zapped by the cosmic policeman if we say the wrong thing, right? The good news is you can put out forest fires. I just pray, Jesus, that we would have a right perspective of it, though. That everything that would come out of our mouth would be blessing. And it would truly transform, or you would transform our hearts so that even the thoughts that we think before we speak would be a blessing. And so we do. We give you permission to touch our hearts, to do the work that's needed inside of our hearts, to heal any woundedness or pain from the past, any past disappointment or ways that our circumstances have shaped us to have a lens with how we look at the world, or look at individuals, or look at ourselves, and that you would do the heart work inside of us. And then that as our words come out of our mouths, it would just be evident sort of the fruit that it produces would be evidence of the work that you're doing inside of us. Yeah. And we trust what you're doing, and we trust the way that you're leading us in this season. We give you all the praise and the glory, and we ask that you would seal what you've done this morning, and then you would continue to lead us and guide us as we continue on the journey of following hard after you. Yeah. And I just pray that every individual would have heard the specific thing that you wanted them to hear today. You know them personally, individually. And I pray that they, as they encounter you more, that you, just that tender interaction between just the loving Father or Jesus as a brother, right? Holy Spirit, right? I just pray that that tender interaction, that they would encounter that. You meet them right where they're at. Yeah. And I just pray that you would seal this word in Jesus' precious name. Amen.